As followers of Jesus, you know, God has expectations for us. You know, let me give you an example. It is God's expectation that you and I be molded into the image of Christ. That you and I look like Jesus, behave like Jesus, act like Jesus. That is God's, the Father, ultimate goal for his people. For those that are called children of God, God's will is that we be more like Jesus. Now, there is a church word for that. It's called sanctification. Sanctification truly is the process by which you and I become more like Jesus in our daily living. Now, Romans 8:29 says, God predestined us. For those whom God knew, he also predestined to be conformed, there's a word, to the image of his son. Now, you read that and you might not understand what really it's talking about. To be conformed to the image of his son. Let me give you an example of what that text is talking about. This is a pattern. You know, I got Play-Doh here. When the Bible says that God's plan is that we be conformed to the image of Jesus, of the Son, this is the image. So to be conformed is, I got to conform this Play-Doh into that pattern. So that when I'm done, the Play-Doh will have the shape, the mold, the pattern of that. So apply that now. God's ultimate goal is, like, Jesus is the pattern. So he wants to conform us. You know, and some of us are hard, like this, you know, hard to conform to the image of Jesus. And God wants to do the work on us. So, you see, his goal, his will is that we be conformed to the image of his son. And what does that actually mean? Is that at the end of the day, we come out looking more like Jesus in our attitude. So it's almost like you and I at the end, conform, you'll be reflecting the pattern. You'll be reflecting the one to whom you are being conformed, fashioned, molded. So that's what God wants from us, to be, says, those he predestined us, that he made that plan long ago, that his people be conformed to the image of his son. A potter conforms the clay. You know, he can make whatever. He can make a ball. He can make you conforming it to your liking. So think about, God wants us to be conformed to the image of Jesus. In other words, we should reflect Jesus in this world. That when the world looks at us, they see the pattern. They see Jesus in us. That's truly what it means to be conformed to the image of Jesus. In other words, that our attitudes, our characters start to reflect Jesus. That's what we call sanctification. Now, think about, let me give you another example. For example, do you persevere through trials like Jesus? Do you serve people like Jesus? Do you love people like Jesus loved people? So today, I would like to examine a text, a passage, into what it means to truly love like Jesus. I mean, we talk about live love, and we talk about love. We hear songs about love, and part of me, I think that we quite don't understand love from the biblical perspective. You know, and when we think about our church, we says we're loving God, loving people. It's our model. But at the same time, how do we go about doing that? Or are we actually doing it, loving God and loving people? Like I said, we hear sermons preach about the love of God. We know that Jesus loves us because we talk about it. We celebrate that every week through communion, because his love sent him to the cross so that through his death, you and I can have life. So he did that because he loved us. But the question that you and I need to wrestle with this morning is, what does he actually mean to love like Jesus? And we're going to examine a text in John chapter 13. Verses 31 through 35. Keep in mind, this is towards the end of Jesus' ministry. He spent about 3 years with his apostles. And then towards the end, Jesus disclosed to them what was about to happen to him in Jerusalem. In other words, he began to tell him his death and also his resurrection. John chapter 13. This is also that story when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Let me read verse 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once." How many times the word glorify appears just in those two verses? Verse 33, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You must also love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." John 13 tells the story when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And he washed the feet, you know, teaching the disciples an example. And remember when Peter's like, "You're not washing my feet," the story. And that's the feet washing happens right before the Last Supper. You know, that's all the Last Supper. He washed even Judas's feet. And then now when our text says when he went out, the "he" in that text is Judas Iscariot. Because Jesus already after the dinner, after the supper, he told them, "One of you will betray me, the one that dips his hand into the bowl." And then Judas gets up from the table. He goes out. The other apostles thought that he went to buy some food or whatever. So when we read, when he had gone out, Judas already went out. Then Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once." Jesus always talked about this idea of the hour has come. So the moment Judas gets out from the table, from the room, the upper room, Jesus said, "Now is the time that God's going to be glorified." Remember, Jesus himself is going to be lifted up and bring glory to God by his death. Jesus already seeing what's coming ahead. Judas already going. What did he go out to do? Remember, he went to deal with the Sadducees and Pharisees to sell Jesus. By the time he's done and he goes into the garden from here, Judas will come with a band of soldiers to arrest Jesus. So remember, Jesus, this is the context in John 13. And notice how Jesus set the example by washing their feet. And now he's also, like Jesus wanted to give them the final instructions before he died. And he said to them, "A new commandment I give you, love one another." You see, the disciples were familiar with the love of God. They understood that. They were Jewish individuals. They knew that the first commandment is love God, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. They knew all that. And all of a sudden, Jesus now said, "Hey, my little children, I'm going away. Where I am going, you cannot come." What do you think Jesus was talking about? His resurrection. Because later on, Peter said, "Hey, Jesus, where are you going that we cannot come?" He wasn't understanding that it's like he was about to go to die. And remember, that's some of the other gospels said that that's when Peter made the bold statement, says, "I will follow you, Lord. I will even give my life." And Jesus said to him, "Will you? You will deny me three times." It was later in that context that Jesus said, "Where I am going right now, you cannot follow me." And then he said, "A new commandment I give you." He says that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you must love one another. A new commandment. Why is it new? Well, when you think about loving God, loving your neighbor, now, you know, it's like that's the greatest commandment. So Jesus now talking to them as a group, as, you know, "You are my disciples. Now have love among each other. Love one another the same way I have loved you. So you must love one another." You see, Jesus specifies the kind of love that his followers are to have for one another. Love each other just as I have loved you. Now, the question you and I need to ask, how did Jesus love the disciples? What example do we see in the scriptures that show truly Jesus loving them? Like I said, the disciples spent 3 years with Jesus. They listened to Jesus' teaching, and Jesus loved them, and he modeled love for them. I mean, in other words, everything that you know Jesus did for them, he did it out of love because he loved them. Let me give you a few examples. Just in chapter 13, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. You know, in that culture, 2,000 years ago, one of the things that they would do, you visit somebody's home, they would provide water for your feet. They will also greet you at the door with a kiss. You know, and to this day, Middle Eastern, they will kiss like, you know, three times. So that was part of, that was the etiquette of the society. And, you know, Jesus was invited to a house of a Pharisee named Simon. And remember, he forgot to do that. And here comes a woman, a simple woman came, and she was just weeping, washing Jesus' feet with the tears, and then drying them with the hair. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Hey, I came to your house, Simon. You did not provide water for my feet. This woman's been washing my feet with her tears. You did not kiss me, and she's been kissing my feet." Remember, that's what people were supposed to do. So in their homes, they will have somebody called a servant. Diakonos, it was the word. And that person was in charge. If you were invited, they will wash your feet. You know, and it was today people might take your coat. Hey, you know, people in the Asian culture, they take their shoes off. So, but in there, it's like, no, you feet wash. And so Jesus is doing what? The job of a servant. That's what Peter said. You're washing my, you're the teacher. Teachers don't wash feet around here. And said, you don't understand now. Just said, but one day you will understand. And then he even said, do to one another just as I'm doing right now. And then Peter's like, don't wash my feet. Give me a whole bath. He said, no, you're already clean, man. Just feet washing right now, Peter. So what does it actually mean to love like Jesus? It means that you serve people without an agenda. You know, there might be people that serve you like you serve me, I serve you. But like to serve people just whether they serve you back or not, to serve people just without an agenda, just like Jesus. He washed their feet, their followers, without expecting anything in return. When you look at Jesus, his model, he said in Mark 10:43, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus, being the master, one time he said, you call me master, and that's who I am. But look, the master now is doing the job of a servant. So Jesus demonstrated, you know, he wasn't around like the Pharisees. The Pharisees even in the clothes, it was just like, you knew when a Pharisee was walking around because they got to show it off, you know. Jesus was just humble man. Look, his closest friends were fishermen, a tax collector, Simon the Zealot, somebody who hated Romans. You know, Jesus was, and for people, Jesus hanging out with the wrong crowd. He came to serve. He came to be, and he demonstrated it. So loving like Jesus means that you serve people the same way Jesus served them, without an agenda. I love in Matthew 23:11, Jesus said, the greatest among you must be your servant. Remember one of the occasions when the disciples were debating, I wonder who's the greatest? And Jesus, he knew they were debating about who's the greatest. Peter and John and James probably, you know, I started first. You know, I got to be more important than you. And Jesus took a little kid and said, hey, when you become like that little child, because the greatest among you must be your servant. You want to be great in the kingdom of God? Serve. So what does it mean to love like Jesus? We serve people without expecting anything in return. We serve without an agenda. That's one of the ways. Loving like Jesus also means to care and watch over those you love. All through scripture, you have these imageries of how God is like a hen taking care of the chicks, like protecting them. And you know, somebody posted a video, this hawk tried to get one of the chicks, and man, this hen gave the hawk a run for the money. He said, you're not coming here and getting one of my chicks. And that hen fought it. So think about protecting your children. So loving like Jesus means you care and you watch over those you love. And you know how it is. Many of us are parents. You know, nobody's going to mess up with your kids because they will have to mess up with you then. You know, so caring and love and watching over those you love, just like a hen cares for the chicks. Luke 13:34. Or you also love like Jesus, caring and watching over others like a shepherd watches over the flock. In John 10, Jesus used the analogy. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I give my life for my sheep. Say, when the wolves come, I fight them. So that's what it means to love like Jesus. The people that you love, you know they're going to feel love when they see that you care, when they see that you are there watching for them, protecting them. A shepherd protects, provides for the sheep and guides. Also, loving like Jesus is caring and watching over those you love, just like a father or a mother cares for the children. I love because you notice that Jesus called them children here, verse 33, little children. I'll be with you for a little while, but then where I'm going, you cannot follow. Like a father protecting, and you know the analogy of God as a father, and the Bible says that God as a father, he loves us, and he will give us good things because we are his children. So that's what it means to love like Jesus. When people that you love, you're going to care for them, you're going to protect them, you're going to provide because you're watching over them. Just like these analogies that we see in the scriptures. Loving like Jesus also means disciplining those you love. Now, in our society, that's countercultural when you think about love disciplines. That's true. Love, when you truly love somebody, you discipline that. Think about, again, in 3 years, Jesus loved the disciples, and he disciplined them whenever they needed to. So Jesus told his followers, each other, he said, love each other as I have loved you. And part of loving each other is like, think about how Jesus loved them. He served them. He provided for them. He protected them. But he also reprimanded them when they needed to. He disciplined them. Now, the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12:6 that God disciplines those he loves and chastises everyone that he accepts or receives as a son. So love disciplines. You know how many parents sometimes like, if you love the kids, you don't discipline them? That's the opposite. Because you love them, you had to discipline them. Otherwise, you know, later on, they're going to grow up and become, you know, demons over there. You won't be able to control them. So you discipline, you know, and I love in Hebrews, it says that you know that God loves you because he disciplines us. If we were not his kids, he would not discipline us. You don't go to Walmart and discipline a child that start, you know, talking trash to his mom. That's their problem, right? But yours, you discipline yours because you love your kids. So how many times Jesus in 3 years, you know, if you go and read the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or you watch the series, The Chosen, I love it because you see the humanity of Jesus and the apostles, you know, displayed through that show. How many times Jesus had to reprimand the apostles, rebuke him, you know, when they were out of line? That was part of the whole teaching. And he did all those things out of love. At one time, Jesus told them, oh, faithless generation. He told them, how long should I be with you? How long should I put up with you? Like, I'm sick and tired of this, guys. He said in Mark 9:19, that's the story of a man that came to Jesus. He came to Jesus because he had the son had a demon. And then he brought him to the apostles. He said, you know, I brought my son to the apostles. They could not cast out the demons. The disciples like, what's going on? Like, we've been casting out demons, but this one we couldn't cast out. And then Jesus looked, the father here in desperation, said, you know, he said to Jesus, have mercy. If you can do something, please have mercy on me. Jesus said, if I could, you know, everything is possible for he who believes. And then Jesus turns around, looked at the disciples and said to him, you faithless generation, reprimanded them. Like, you don't even have faith right now. How long should I be with you? How long should I put up with you or bear with you? Reprimanded the apostles out of love. Jesus rebuked the apostles every time they display doubts and unbelief. At one time he said, you still don't believe? Like, after I've been with you all this time? So loving like Jesus means you got to discipline those you love. When it comes, sometimes you got to reprimand and teach him. When they one time James and John came to Jesus, knowing that Jesus was going to be a king, and it was James and John's mom came to Jesus. She came to Jesus and said, "Hey Lord, when you come in your kingdom, allow my boys one to be on your right, one to be on your left." And when the other disciples found that out, they were mad at James and John. It's like, you know, and Jesus had to calm the situation with reprimand. It's like, you know, you want to be great, be a child. You know, it's like, why are you debating? Why are you arguing about? You know, he always had to do that, and he did it because he loved him. What does he actually mean to love like Jesus? When you look at what Jesus is talking to them about, one of the greatest things that you see Jesus displaying his love for the apostles, loving like Jesus can be costly. And it's also sacrificial. Jesus told the disciples to love one another the same way that he has loved them. And eventually he's going to display his love by eventually dying on the cross for them. Jesus said it in John. You keep on reading John. Talking about chapter 15, he said, greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And then he said to the disciples, you are my friends if you do what I command you. So I'm about to do the greatest act of love. I'm going to display love so that everyone will see, because I love you, I'm going to sacrifice myself for you. Love is sacrificial. When we do weddings, we always tell people, love is costly. It might cost you your whole life. It's not cheap. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, it's interesting. Paul is talking about how God demonstrated his love. How did he demonstrate his love? Christ died for us. That's the greatest display of love you can ever. Taking somebody else's place. No, I take the punishment because I love you. You'll be okay. I take the punishment. I die on your behalf. Loving like Jesus means to be willing to sacrifice yourself for those that you claim to love. That's what when Jesus was talking about in John 10, that he was the shepherd. He says the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. If the stranger comes and tries to snatch my sheep, I will fight him. I'm willing to give my life. And he did that. He demonstrated. When he says, now the Son of Man will be glorified, he was looking forward to that, when he finally will display the greatest act of love on the cross. And watch this. There, he's not just dying for the disciples. He's dying for the whole world, even for those ones that will never recognize Jesus as the Savior, as the Lord. So Jesus took our place on the cross. He took our punishment. And like I said, this is truly the greatest expression of love displayed. And then he commanded the disciples. Now, you have an idea. When Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Loving like Jesus, serving without an agenda. Loving like Jesus, caring and watching over those that I love. Loving like Jesus, that disciplining and instructing or correcting bad behavior. That's still loving like Jesus. And ultimately, that I'm willing to give my life for the one that I claim to love. That's loving like Jesus. He provided. He loved them by correcting them, disciplining them. And finally, he did it. He showed his love by dying for them. And now, my friends, now it's going to be up to us to follow Jesus' example. And the apostles, I mean, you see, when you continue reading the book of Acts, you see that they learned to love like Jesus, just like the master taught them. You and I, still, if we struggle loving like Jesus, we can learn. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another in the same way that I have loved you. And you see how I display my love for you. And then he says, by this all men will know that you are truly my disciples when you love one another. Verse 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples and you have love for one another. Interesting. The distinguishing mark of a Christian, according to what Jesus is saying, truly is love. It's not even, oh, you know, people say, well, I go to church, well, I always carry my Bible, people can know I'm a Christian. No, people are going to know you're truly my disciple, Jesus said, when they see that you love each other. Because, you know, in other words, even in our society, the world desperately needs that love. You know, you cannot have love the Hollywood definition. I mean, those celebrities are breaking up every time. You know, it's like, where's the love? Like Black Eyed Peas says, where's the love, y'all? I don't know. You know, people killing, people hurting, you know, where's the love? The world desperately needs to be shown love. And if we are disciples of Jesus, they got to see us, because Jesus wants us to be fashioned into the image of the Son, that people see that we can love people the same way that Jesus loved us. How we serve him, how we protect him, how we do things for them, that those things we do because we love them. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another the same way I have loved you. And by this, by doing that, the whole world will know that you are truly my disciples. So you see, love is almost like the badge of a Christian. You know how everyone has an ID where you go, you work, there's an ID that identifies who you are. The ID of the Christian is almost like, you know, the FBI says FBI, CIA. So it's like love. That's what you got to display every time. Love. By this, people will know that you're truly my disciples when you love one another. Now, loving like Jesus, you see, is the greatest testimony that you and I can have in this world. Because love is going to testify. So to testify that we are truly disciples of Jesus. You see, when people can see in a church that the church is made of people from with different nationalities, different personalities, and you know, we are in different social status, economic status, you know, when people see that we can all come together, we can love each other, regardless of where we come from, regardless of our ethnicity, or regardless of our political party, and we can come together and love each other, that's going to be attractive to the world, because the world is lacking that today. And they see, how is it that you all can love each other when you don't even look the same, don't act the same, you know, because we learn to love like Jesus. Look at all those apostles. A few fishers of men, tax collector, one that was a revolutionary, Simon the Zealot. You know, and they all came together in harmony because of Jesus. And Jesus now said, hey, you got to learn to love one another. I'm not asking you to stop being you, but you learn to love one another in the same way that I have loved you. And then when you do that, the world will know that you are my disciples. You know, you're not going to tell the world, oh, I'm a disciple of Jesus, I'm a Christian. And they're going to know you're a Christian because you say it. No, no. They're going to know you are my disciples when they see that you have love for one another. Love, loving like Jesus, my friend, is the greatest testimony that you and I can have in this world. This is why we'll show the world that we're truly followers of Jesus. A new commandment I give you, Jesus said 2,000 years ago. Love one another. And by this, love one another as I have loved you. And by this, the world will know that you are my disciples. Now it's up to us to show the world that we're truly disciples of Jesus when they see that we love one another. Would you pray with me this morning?